All right, well, welcome back to the One Hope for America podcast. I'm here with my friend Jeremy Gonzalez, Revival Group pastor in first year BSSM. Mm-hmm. And man, we're going to have some fun.
Yes, we are.
Next few minutes. We're going to be talking about, first of all, Jeremy's story is awesome. And I wanted to get you on here. I wanted to capture your story. We just got back from Phoenix.
Yes, we did.
Jeremy went with me to Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And we saw miracles, people get born again. We saw crazy stuff, deliverance.
Powerful time, for sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff stirring right now. We've got the Asbury Revival, mm-hmm. You know, is the effects of that are still going on. The Jesus Revolution movie came out. You've seen it.
Yes.
I haven't yet. But I want to talk about just the epic season we're in the body of Christ mm-hmm. right now. And just where we're at in this season. And so, Jeremy, you are born and raised in California, right here.
Yes. Yeah, West Coast kid all
West
day.
Coast. Yes. Yeah, let's go. And you've been a Revival Group pastor here at BSSM for how many years now?
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. And you came up through the school ministry.
I did first year in 2013, moved away, didn't think I was coming back, and got hired in 2017.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And you got three beautiful kids.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
Almost all teenagers, so we get ready. Pray for me. You're actually the man that needs to pray for me.
I'm there for you, bro. They're gonna be awesome.
Perfect.
But I wanted to bring you on here and just hear your story. Mm-hmm. We had this moment in Phoenix the other day. We're talking about evangelism. People are going out to invite people in that night, and you shared your story for a few minutes, and it gripped the whole room. Everybody was like, "Whoa!" Like the wow, this is why we're doing this. And I want people to hear your story. I mean, like, how did you come to know the Lord?
Yeah, I think it was such a powerful moment because I honestly just wanted to honor what God's doing through you in raising you up to preach the gospel. And it just resonated so well with me because I grew up with a Pentecostal mom mm-hmm. and a non-practicing Catholic dad, and he was fully in the world. I'll leave that rest for the imagination, but
yeah.
fully.
Yeah.
And that's how we grew up. But I had a mom who was always praying, And one day, God brings a man into my dad's life. Mm-hmm. We connected through baseball, mm-hmm. And he ran the streets with my dad at one point, and then became a radical believer. Was witnessing to us, was nonstop loving us. That's cool. That was kind of it, but mm-hmm. would keep consistently being that person. And one day he invited us to a church service because the chaplain of the Oakland A's was preaching, but he was also going to have a few Major League Baseball players share their testimony. Mm. And my dad heard that, and all he thought was, I'm going to get autographs. So showed up
whatever
to,
it takes, man.
Right, showed up with the baseball. And at the end of the service, the man preaching had a word of knowledge for my dad.
Wow.
Six distinct things that was currently going on in my dad's life. He asked him, he asked this area of the church, if you're here, stand up. And my dad didn't stand up. But it did something to my dad. So we did some for the first time in our lives. And I think I was 16. We went to church twice in one day.
Wow.
And we went back that night, and the preacher, who was a traveling evangelist, preached the gospel.
Yeah.
And gave an altar call.
Wow.
And my dad, my older brother, myself, and my younger brother all got saved the same night, the same service, and our family's lives have been changed ever since. Wow. So I felt the need to share that in Phoenix because, we need to be praying.
Yeah.
Right? That's my mom prayed for the first 19 years of her marriage.
Wow.
For my dad to become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the second thing is we need to be witnessing. We need to be sharing our faith. Mm-hmm. Like, whether you think you have it all together or whether you're articulate or whether mm-hmm. you have all the points, like, you got to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. You got to love the hell out of people. Mm-hmm. And that's what that man did. Mm-hmm. And then he invited us to a service.
Wow.
Where a man preached the gospel and we get saved.
Wow.
And I see God doing that through your ministry right now. Wow. Tom,
One Hope, come on, man. Well, tell me about that night. So you're in the service, you know, you've never heard the gospel before up to that point, is that
no.
right? Or
no.
Your mom was a Pentecostal, so maybe you heard
it. But praying mom, all I heard was she was praying, and you know, that's pretty much was the extent of it. So.
Yeah. So he preaches the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened? He gives an altar call.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah, I was funny. I was in the 90s, and he preached the gospel, but he also preached on hell. And I think part of it was none of us wanted to go there. And he gave an altar call, and I saw my dad get up. And not only was it my dad's response, but I think we all made that decision.
Wow.
Of wanting to follow Jesus, of wanting to see our lives changed, right? Of wanting to do this together, and that's hindsight. But I think in the moment, that's what happened. Like he invited us into this new experience, life changing experience, right? With a good God, and that's kind of what we ran to. And the amazing thing is, so not only do my dad and I have a younger brother, but he was like a baby at the time, but. Mm-hmm. Now, not even 20 plus years later, you go from having the mom of the family saved to all of us walking with Jesus. And then my three out of the four boys, brothers in my family, are in full-time ministry now.
Wow.
So God,
your whole legacy got transformed.
Yep.
Because somebody invited you guys to church.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's the story, man. That's what we're here because of that, right? A praying mom, like I said, a witnessing believer, and then, an evangelist who preached the word.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. Phoenix was an amazing time. I mean, just seeing so many people get transformed.
Yes.
And I heard about a mom who came the last night. Somebody invited her with a ticket for this service.
Mm-hmm.
They invited her. She brought her two kids. She got saved that night?
She did, yes.
Did you meet her?
I did not, no. But I think it was one, if I'm not mistaken, it was one of our students. I think it was like the last minute, last ticket, kind of handed out, and the mom showed up, yes.
Wow. She gets saved, and then I was told she was in church the next morning at the 9 a.m. service.
Oh, she probably was. Yeah, I spoke at a different church the next morning, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing, like... You know, it's funny, the body of Christ goes through different trends and through different things, but like, God's given us the fivefold to edify and equip the believers, and the evangelist is a big part of that. And right now, in evangelism in America, a lot of people have this mindset that, evangelism is a volume, it's a preacher, it's an itinerant minister, but it's actually a grace released from a believer's heart. That guy who was witnessing to your family was flowing in a spirit of evangelism, just loving you guys, and took a risk to just invite you, and I don't know what it is today, but like a lot of people, there was a word that began to circulate in the body of Christ, and I believe it, and I preach it, and it is, I'm believing for the day when the body of Christ is so activated that we have more people getting saved Monday through Sunday than on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That we have people getting born again at work, at school, in their families, throughout the week. And I pray and I want that to happen, like the Jesus movement, it happened.
Yeah.
But like, if that was happening, we'd be seeing a lot more people just showing up to church. So I don't know how much the body of Christ is activated right now. Some might call that a lack of faith, but I'm just looking at it going, I'm looking at a scoreboard going, show me the souls, where are they coming from?
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
Some people are coming, but like I think it's important that we don't leave behind this moment of inviting somebody to church.
Yeah.
Of inviting somebody to come and experience the presence of God and hear the gospel preached. Somebody asked me a question today, like, hey, what's the balance between preach the gospel all over the world and if necessary use words? And just preach it to everybody. And, Romans 10, Paul said, how are they going to believe in whom they've not heard?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to hear unless somebody preaches?
That's right. You
how are they going to preach unless they go?
Mm-hmm.
And so, we have lots of theories and opinions today in the world, but the bottom line is that we got to stand on the Word of God and do what the Word says, or else we're fooling ourselves.
I think so. I heard a man say one time, when we create these dichotomies of like one or the other,
yeah,
it's like arguing which wing of the airplane is more important mid-flight.
Ooh.
I want both working.
Right.
I want to land.
That's right.
And I think sometimes we create these things that aren't helpful
in
Christians and in churches, and it's either or, and it's binary, and it's not helpful.
It's polarizing.
We need all of it. We need the gifts. We need the fruit. We need love. We need preaching the gospel. Like,
let's do it all.
I think stop.
We don't got to choose.
Stop trying to. No, it's not helpful.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah. Let's see more people meet Christ throughout the week, and let's invite them to get plugged into the body of Christ and into church.
Because once again, like, Jesus didn't call us to make decisions. He called us to make disciples.
Right.
And so that's that piece where not only are we leading them to the Lord, but we're actually leading them into a family, into a community, into mm-hmm. following Jesus. He said to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you.
Right.
So there's an element that we're not just here to just get converts and then leave and feel good about ourselves because we did something. No. They need to be pulled into that family, which that's why the local body and the church exists, and that's why we need the church.
Yeah. 100%. It's excellent. I mean, when I met Christ, I was lost as a goose in a snowstorm.
That's funny.
And I remember I encountered God, and my youth pastor, Alfred Murillo, I looked at him and I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm here. And he said, okay, come on, let's go. I'll never forget. We were standing in the hallway of the church, and I started following him. Mm-hmm. And it was like he began to just take me out on the streets to go witness to people and pass out socks to homeless people. And then we go get a burrito at 2 or 3 in the morning, and he just began to unconditionally love me and show me how to follow God. And it's just like there's people in the, I love what you just said about the wings on the plane, because it's true. We want to choose.
Oh yeah.
I get it all the time. Like I'm emphasizing it's time to preach the gospel. And I can't emphasize that without somebody saying, yeah, but we need to make disciples, mm-hmm. or you know, vice versa. And I'm just like, can we just do it all?
I think that's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. So yeah. Phoenix was epic. I'd love to hear your perspective, you know, on the trip. You just being there, you got to see all these. We had mm-hmm. over 50 students activated going for it.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 nights there. What stood out to you? What was powerful to you?
Man, so obviously I'm a pastor, so seeing students activated, mm-hmm. you know, and that they're at a ministry school learning how to do ministry, yeah. and that they would actually do ministry is, mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. And so seeing students preaching the gospel, seeing students going after healing,
yeah.
like people encountering the love of God mm-hmm. was always impactful. I think the night meetings were great because it stirred the church, mm-hmm. right? It made... I think what happens, let me just say it this way. I think we had the seeker-sensitive movement for a long time.
Mm.
And then our response, especially in charismatic, spirit-filled, kingdom kind mm-hmm. of churches was, oh no, we need to be sensitive to the presence,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think you can do that and still be aware of seekers,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not that we cater to them, but right. I think you can pull them into an experience. And I think that's what we did.
Yeah,
we worshiped unashamedly. You know, we did the things that you do in church, mm-hmm. and yet at the end, there was an invitation, people come to know the Lord, and they came to know the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of puts, I think it gives us a good refresher on remembering, like, we don't have to cater to people, mm-hmm. and we can honor God mm-hmm. and what he's doing in a room,
mm-hmm.
and yet people, you can still invite people into that experience, and they can come to know the Lord as a result. So
yeah.
I think that's what was done beautifully in the night meetings that I love so much and appreciated. And then, like I said, the streets, taking mm-hmm. it out there.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever heard of LARPing? LARPing.
Mm-mm.
Live action role playing.
No.
It's these people, they show up to parks and they're dressed like fairies and they're dressed like wizards.
Yeah, I've seen
And they
it.
Have their language and they have their rules and they have their games.
Mm-hmm.
But they get in their car and they go home and nobody knows that they did that.
Huh.
Ask the church sometimes.
Wow.
We have our apostles. We might not have wizards and these, but we have apostles, we have prophets, we have pastors, we have evangelists, we have teachers, we have our names, we have the things we do, we find significance in doing it, and we gather, but then we go home and nothing changes.
Wow.
And I think, I love what happened in Phoenix because God showed up and God was moving and God mm-hmm. was present in the church when we gathered,
mm-hmm.
but he was equally as present and available and moving when we were on the streets.
Yes.
And I think what happens in church needs to overflow to wherever we go.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. What was the most significant moment for you that you saw that in Phoenix?
I think it was great. We witnessed to a guy who was 50 years old with his
mm-hmm.
grandson
mm-hmm.
at a skate park.
Mm-hmm.
He had just fallen and had a wrist injury. And we pray for him and he kind of moves his wrist around. And I think he was trying to be courteous and like, oh yeah, it's okay. But you could tell, right? It wasn't healed. And so I love that there was a student with me that said, we're going to pray again.
Mm.
Praise again. He said, we say amen. He starts moving his wrist and his eyes start getting bigger. And he starts moving his wrist and his eyes are still that bigger.
Yeah.
And it was almost like it took him by surprise. Like, wow, this actually works.
Whoa.
And
I love
he,
that.
And we got to witness to him, invite him to the service. I don't know if he came, but just seeing that happen,
yeah,
like out on a skate park on a Saturday, mm-hmm, God moving powerfully. I think another one of our students, his family got absolutely rocked. Mm. They lived in the Phoenix area.
Okay.
They came to the night meetings, and God just met them powerfully.
Yeah, that was the brother of,
mm-hmm, of one of our students in
the
first year.
He came up front the first night and surrendered to the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and he was undone. Like, God's love was just poured out, and he got up a different person. He came every night. It was powerful. He was rocked.
Yeah. So it was probably awesome. Couple of my highlights for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It was epic. One of my highlights was the last night we're singing, and the presence of God came so strong. I mean, like, the glory was just, you know, and David Funk and Hannah Waters did a killer job.
Oh, they did.
They did such a good job leading. And they were singing the song, Brian and Jen's song. I think it's just Jen. I don't know all the writers.
Sure.
Jen Johnson.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
The Blood.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not about performance. It's not, mm-hmm, about striving. It's only in the blood.
Yeah.
That song is so powerful. And I'm sitting there, and I just read previously a day or two before, you know, when Jesus was in the synagogue, and then it says, the power of the Lord is present to heal. And I'm sitting there in that moment, and God spoke to me and said, the power of the Lord is present to break addiction. And so I'm just like, it's time. So I went up there.
Well, you got up like, what was that, 20 minutes into the service?
20 or 30
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, it was powerful.
And I just gave a call for anybody there battling addiction. Mm-hmm. And here's what I've learned in giving calls. You know, like, some people are like, do you have them raise their hand? Do you have them come forward? And it's yes and no.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, what is God doing in the room?
Mm-hmm.
And follow him. You know, when the presence is in the room, there's this anointing that comes into the room. And I've often said there's a difference between the presence of God and, mm-hmm, the anointing. The anointing comes from the presence, obviously. But when the presence of God's here right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when the anointing comes, it's a specific power that's there to set captives free. Isaiah 61. So anyways,
yeah.
Just processing a lot. But like, man, there was such a strong anointing that I knew in the moment, nobody's going to raise their hand. They're just going to come forward when I call them.
Yeah.
And I said, if you're here and you're battling addiction, then come down here, come. And just like, it was like something broke in the atmosphere. It wouldn't have been there the first two nights. It wasn't there. But like this last night, I could feel the glory. It was so strong. And the whole front filled up. And it was cool. There was this one young man I went to, and I didn't go to anybody else in the, mm-hmm, whole crowd. What happened here, you just can't make happen. I go to this guy, I pray for him, and then I pop up and I tell a story about how my son fell in a mud hole when he was 2 years old, mm-hmm, three times, and I pulled him out and hosed him off, said, look into my, yeah, eyes, you're fine, you're good.
It's a good story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell the story to illustrate, you know, Jesus, you know, look into his eyes, he's, mm-hmm, got you. And then I come back to that kid to pray for him, and he looks at me and he says, you don't understand, I watched you share that story last night. I said, what do you mean? He's doing the freedom course with BSSM,
okay,
that my wife started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I preached the gospel in that, and I gave that story.
Mm-hmm.
He'd watched it the night before and watched me share that story the night before.
Dang.
And then, okay, here I am. I share it.
That's awesome.
That night in that call. And so it's just like these prophetic moments that ignite faith,
mm-hmm,
and bring power to set somebody free. It was just, that was an amazing moment. And the glory came, and then it was just like waves of his presence. And then Hannah Waters just began to lead us into a time of just resting in the Father. So many people encountered, mm-hmm, God.
Oh, they did. That was a powerful night.
Yeah. It was epic. Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm excited. We're gearing up here for Oroville.
Mm-hmm.
April 21st through the 23rd. We're going to meet with a bunch of pastors. We met there December 5th. We went down and connected with about 25 to 30 pastors. They're all really excited. And there's just a lot stirring. I can feel just faith in the atmosphere for what God wants to do. We've got, you know, the Asbury Revival is just stirred, such a fresh breeze of revival in the atmosphere. You can feel it. I know it broke out at Lee University. It's several of the campuses. What have you heard? Have you heard it? Is it still? Yeah. I mean,
I think they heard there was three campuses that was going on. I haven't heard an update recently, though.
So. Yeah. But then the Jesus Revolution movie, like, I feel like these are moments in history you can't just make up. And we in the body of Christ and leaders, everybody, we just need to be aware, I think, of this moment and just do what God's calling us to do. Because there's something fresh, like people are starting to think about Jesus. Like today, I went to the store this morning to get eggs and milk and stuff, and or half and half. Anyways.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I look down, and they're selling Cadbury eggs. I'm like, okay, here we go. People are starting to think about Easter. And as Christians, I think it's important, whether you're an evangelist or not is irrelevant. We love Jesus, and people that don't know the Lord, man, like that guy who was witnessing your family, it's important that we just have our antennas up and people are starting to think about God. I think we're in a divine, a Kairos moment in America and the nations.
It's my youngest daughter's name, by the way.
Kairos?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
It's a good day.
It's a moment.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, any thoughts on that? I mean, just like this prophetic moment we're in.
Yeah, I think... I love what Bill says, right? He says, draw a circle around where you're standing and stand in the middle of it and pray till you have revival.
God, start with me.
I think I love what God's doing. I think it builds faith for us to know he can do it again. But I think it's found, I think it's achieved, not earned, but achieved. I think it happens through faithfulness.
Yeah.
Like people showing up, like still honoring the presence, like being faithful to witness, being the loving person. Like, I think that's what God is moving on and blessing.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, I don't know. I wrestle with, do we stop everything and have prayer meetings all day?
Right.
Because I know it's true, right? Prayer like has preceded every revival, every awakening that we've ever had. So I think we should be doing that anyways. That should be part of it. But I think, you know, I don't want us to get so inward focused on revival that these moments, in quotations, and I'm trying to be generous, that we forget to be who we are every day.
Yeah.
Right? I want to get up every morning and love my kids. I want to get up every morning and be led by the Spirit. I want to get up every moment and, Lord, if you want to use me, use me. Right? Like whether I'm ready for it or whether I'm prepared or whether I'm, you know, because I love what Julian Adams says. He says that the Holy Spirit is his most inconvenient friend. That's a word right there. And I think realizing that hey, you know what, you want friendship with the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean you get to shake, rattle and roll, fall on the ground, feel good about yourself. It means that there's a demand placed on your life for that friendship, and that means you're walking with him, and if he calls you to do something in a moment, whether it's the ideal time or not, like I want to follow his leading.
So good,
because he's the one that's pouring out his Spirit.
It's true. Yesterday, I was at the Wichita airport flying home. My wife and I were from a conference we did. And I'm getting water. I turn around, and there's a young guy just walking, teenager. And I said, hey, bro, what's going on? Just struck up with a conversation, and he was open. And so we're just talking as we're walking. And I said, man, have you ever heard, like, Jesus loves you, cares about you? And he's like, oh, okay. And I just began to share the simple gospel with him.
Yes.
And I said, bro, Jesus Christ was real. He died on a cross just for you. He was buried in a grave, and 3 days later he rose from the grave alive, defeating death, hell, and the grave.
It's the gospel.
He's alive. And I said, he's real. I encountered him, and he became more real than my skin. The kid looked at me. Here was his honest reaction. He said, whoa, I've never heard that before. Wow. And he was like taken back. And I could tell he was grateful that I'm sharing this good news with him. It rivets me every time. This kid was 15 years old from Montana, there for some sports thing.
Sure.
And so I said, Berlin, I want to give you something. I don't want nothing from you, but I want to give you, so come here. So he walked over and I introduced him to my wife, and I pulled out of my bag, I had a Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to him, and that was it. But it was just like, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Holy Spirit marked him with mm-hmm. that conversation. And he's going to get saved.
Yep.
I have no doubt. And I think it's important allowing the Holy Spirit to be our most inconvenient friend, like mm-hmm. your friend said. To just be ready in those moments. Wow.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
Yeah.
So I'm a pastor. Yeah. This is who I am. Like, yeah. This is what I get to do.
Yeah.
I had this realization a couple of years ago where I thought I showed up to work and I brought God with me. Mm. But then I actually realized, no. Like, God shows up to work every day and he brings his son with him.
Wow.
And I think if we had a great understanding and revelation yeah. of that truth, mm-hmm. that God is the one that is wooing people to himself. He is the sending God. He's the one that has decided yep. this plan to save the world, to save mm-hmm. people. Like, he is the one that wants to call his children home. He's the one that's orchestrating conversations. I mean, what are the chances that a guy that my dad grew up with comes back into his life? Mm-hmm. They used to run, they used to party. Now he's a believer. Like, God knows what he's doing
yeah.
when he's orchestrating things. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew you were going to be at the airport right mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. He knew that kid was going to be standing right behind you. Mm-hmm. And all you had to do was follow his leading. Mm-hmm. And God's really good at what he does.
Yeah.
And he's the one that is saving, like I said, the entire world.
Yeah.
And he gets to let us participate with him.
That's right. I love that.
And I think that just because I think sometimes evangelism feels like we're doing the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing the heavy lifting.
No.
We just need to get over that little line that keeps us from stepping over mm-hmm. to be the kind of witnesses that God's called us to be.
Yeah.
And I think that line is real little compared to all the work that he does.
Yeah.
It's one step for us, but yeah, he's orchestrating right. the salvation of everyone. The planet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like, I guess one thing I've learned in the key, that reminds you of a key of a revival that I've learned, I know you know, is oftentimes we do things and ask God to bless it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we did what God was doing? Let's just do what God's already blessing.
It's a great idea.
You know, which the Lord is always drawing the lost to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's always empowering us to be a witness. And if we drink first, and taste and see the Lord is good, then evangelism just becomes easy.
Yes.
It's like, it's just an overflow of who mm-hmm. I am. It's not, you know, a style or a method or a volume or a platform or any of that. It's if every believer mm-hmm. begin to realize I'm in union with Christ, this mystery that's yep. mind-blowing, that we're one,
mm-hmm.
and he's in me. The Holy Spirit is the greatest evangelist. I've seen it before where people just get close to me, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit's on me, and then things just begin to pop in a conversation. It becomes effortless.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if every believer got activated in this lifestyle, like if everybody began to just understand the presence of God is in you for others that are around you,
mm-hmm.
Man, we could see some headway happen in the world.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
My favorite Bill Johnson quote, he says, uh-huh. the world needs you to be you with God all over you.
Yeah.
Right? You got to understand that God's called you to be you.
So
and even
good.
The season of life you're in,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't matter. Like you said, yep. I think we think evangelism is a set of qualities or a set mm-hmm. of personality types, or it's this certain kind of individual, or mm-hmm. it's this fivefold thing. And if I don't have it, then I'm kind of like, I don't have to do it. And that's just not the truth.
Right.
We're all totally. Called to answer the Great Commission, but we don't have to become somebody else in order for that to happen.
Right.
We just need to be fully powered individuals who own who we are, right? I got a chance to witness to a guy
mm-hmm.
at the in Arizona. He mm-hmm. owned a vintage clothing store,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I love vintage clothing yeah. stores. So it was just like a match made in heaven.
Connection.
Perfect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Walk in,
uh-huh.
And I think he made a comment about the shirt. I was wearing some vintage Kobe shirt or something. And he told me he liked my shirt. And so we start chatting. And I led with, I'm a pastor. Probably if you're going to like do evangelism, I don't know if you lead with that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
at least how we would say it. Right.
Yeah.
And I just led with who I am.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm from, what I'm yeah. doing, why we were there.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up being a believer. Man, great kid. 24-year-old, second business. I asked if I could pray for him. He said, absolutely. Right there in the middle of the vintage clothing store, got a word for him, prophesied over him, prophesied over his business, prayed over him. And we get done. He wants to give me something for free. And I was like, no, I'm not going to pray for you and then take something for free. I was like, I'll buy something. And so I ran over and grabbed something.
Yeah.
But I think you got to just own who you are.
Yeah.
Like who God's called you to be in that season. He's given you the ability to do everything he's called you to do.
Wow.
God has never asked us to do something that he hasn't empowered us to do.
Yes.
And I think that's a lie that sometimes we believe in the church, that God is asking us to do all these things and then somehow we got to figure it out how to make it happen.
Yeah.
And he gives everything he commands.
So good. Powerful. That reminds me too. That leads me to a thought. I mean, you're in the first year environment.
Yes.
And I think we have the greatest school on the planet. And shameless plug, if you're thinking about where should you go to school ministry, come to BSSM.
BSSM.
It's amazing. But you're in the first year environment. You've seen thousands of students come and go throughout the years. What's one thing you've learned from pastoring thousands of students, hundreds of students, whatever it is, that you would want to tell the world, like, whoa, this is what I've observed and learned from God?
Yeah, I think for me, because I think a lot of people come into ministry school and they're doing most of the ministry out of performance, right? Like I got to appease this angry God, or I got to work hard to somehow earn the things that happened for me in Christianity. It's simply not true. Like I think the one thing we all need to be sold on is God's love for us.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus has this moment. It says at his baptism, it says the sky parted, a dove descended, and he heard a voice said, "This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased." Many of us, maybe some people would think, oh, well, that's Jesus, right? 1 John 3:1, it says, what kind of love has God lavished upon us that we would become children of God?
Yeah.
And that is who we are.
Yeah.
Like to me, all successful ministry, all longevity in ministry, like being able to deal with the highs and the lows of successes and failures and all of that stuff. People, if you can be secure in his love for you, and from that flows your identity, right? Like God's thoughts about me, how he sees me, is the number one component to my identity.
Wow.
It's not who I think I am.
Yeah.
It's not where I'm from. It's not a personality test.
It's not how others see you.
It's not how others see me. If you can latch onto that one reality, that how God sees you, and he sees you as a son or a daughter, that is who he's called you to be, 1 John 3:1. To me, that's the game changer.
Yeah.
Right? Because you know what? Because what happens is you want to respond in faithfulness.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be. Right? That's salvation is a covenant relationship. Like, you come into, that's what faith is. I believe in, and I'm walking with you in the same direction for the rest of my life. And
so
you're the leader, and I follow. Right? But people get hijacked. People, you know, if you're not secure in his love, you're going to try to find other reasons to fill, other things to fill that love.
Yeah.
Right? If you have a tough season where things aren't successful or your prophetic words aren't coming to pass or things ain't going right, like, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
So you keep coming back to that truth of like, hey, I am
really
loved
good.
By him.
Yeah.
Right? This is who I am.
That's really good.
But to me, that, like I said, success, longevity, right? However it happens.
Yeah.
That truth right there.
Yeah, because it's true. I mean, we all go through times where we don't feel loved. We go through times where we just feel shame. And it's just real life, right? We all have those different experiences.
Yep.
But if we didn't have the love of God as an anchor outside of our feelings, where would we go?
Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan till they get hit in the mouth. Well, guess what? I can be a toothless believer.
Yeah.
Because he still loves me. Regardless of what circumstances happen in my life.
Yeah.
I can be secure on that.
100%.
Yeah. And get dentures maybe. But.
Yeah. That's really good. Okay, we just talked about the love of God. I want to go to this conversation because you talked about how that evangelist preached to you guys and he talked about hell. I want to talk about hell for a second because in the body of Christ today, there are some leaders rising up who say hell is not real. It's a man-made idea. But that preacher that night, he talked about hell and it gripped you guys. And I mean, maybe you came to Christ because you were afraid of going to hell. I don't know. But I mean, What are your thoughts on that from the perspective that, I mean, that was what the evangelist talked about that night?
So we hear, we read in Romans, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance.
Right.
And so we sometimes, I think, assume that hell is not a message of kindness.
Mm.
But I think it's God's kindness to tell us the truth.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that's what we need to focus on is, hey, you know what? Like, mm-hmm. it is God's kindness that somebody had a conversation with you mm-hmm. about a reality mm-hmm. and a place that you mm-hmm. don't want to go to.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
I think trying to understand how Jesus used it and said it and lived it out is... and we responded to it, and who we taught about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from what I can see, he most of the time he only talks about hell to religious people,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting
thing, right? So, but I think that's kind of where I'm at. Is like, hey, the truth in love is the move.
Yeah, that's right.
I was told a long time ago that there was two kinds of people. One kind of person loves to tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
and the other person tells the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem is we've had too many of the people in the first category telling people about hell.
Mm. Yes.
Like they just love to tell the truth.
Yeah.
But they love to tell the truth. They don't tell it in love.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that kindness message really plays into it, right?
That's excellent.
And I think the thing is about, I heard someone say one time, if it's hell, it's hell all the way to hell.
Mm.
But if it's heaven, it's heaven all the way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing that we know about our gospel is that our gospel isn't about where you're going to head one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You get a direction.
You're already headed there right now.
You get a direction.
Yeah.
But the reality is that Christ breaks into your life right now.
Yeah.
And so that the hell you're going through can actually be stopped.
Yes.
It can be changed.
Exactly.
Or at least maybe the inside of you can be changed so that if hell comes around you, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because you're transformed from the inside.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, love can't exist without free will.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to control somebody, love ceases to exist. Love can only flourish in the context of free will.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us so much, he gave us a choice. And if he removed our choice to choose, you know, in this instance, heaven or hell,
mm-hmm.
then we no longer have a choice to love or hate. And so I think, you know, when it comes to talking about hell, it's just like, you know, God didn't create hell for people. He created it for demons.
That's right.
And for the devil. But, you know, people choose life apart from God, and he loves us so much. He honors our free will and our choice all the way to the grave. And I heard somebody say one time, when all of us get there on Judgment Day, we will know we are getting what we deserved. I mean, there will be no, you're unfair, God. No, God is completely just and complete love. And anyways, I just think that, you know, people talk about like hell today and they're trying to say, oh, it's not real. Listen, if Dr. So-and-so says mm-hmm. anything that contradicts Jesus, they're wrong. The second I see theologians, people try to get smarter than the Word of God, man.
Yeah,
see ya.
It's an interesting place.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, but that's good. So you know, if you don't have a scoreboard, you don't know how good you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest scoreboards we have for One Hope for America event is how's the church doing after mm-hmm. after we leave? And we've been getting reports back. The youth group there in Phoenix that we were a part of,
yeah,
it's like blowing up. Like God's moving in those kids.
Yeah. And then even when we were there, we did a training on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And obviously we had 50 students that were ready to go because mm-hmm. they've been trained up for the last six, 7 months.
Yeah.
But we also had easily 2 or 3 dozen local church members from various churches who were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed up to several different locations in Phoenix with us and were ready to evangelize, preach the gospel, mm-hmm. like minister to people. So the fruit of that has been pretty awesome.
Wow. Yeah, people just going for it.
Yeah.
So people getting activated, youth groups blowing up. I mean, I forgot to talk about that. That second night in Phoenix, I'm sitting there. I knew there was more. And the Lord all of a sudden said to me, there's somebody here who's 13 years old. If you call him out, I'm gonna mark him. So I said, who here is 13 years old? Come up here right now. And this girl began to walk up. She's one of the pastor's daughters. And she came over and the fire of God came on her. And boom, she goes out in the power. And the Lord just began to tell me different kids. You were there. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the power of God began to hit all these kids. And here was what they said. This was awesome. These kids were laid out all over the ground. Like the power of God just hit all these kids. And they got up and they said to each other, "Now we know it's real." And they went and invited their friends for the next night. And they were they were lit up, on fire for God. Just they all got marked by his presence. So that's continuing right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's even affecting first year. So we had students come back, share testimonies at school last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then I just felt I was leading the day that day. Okay. So I was kind of making sure everything was flowing right. Mm-hmm. And so after testimonies, I encourage people, if they wanted to see someone come to the Lord before the school's in, out in the next 2.5 months, we got mission trips coming up, more ministry trips. Almost the entire school stood up, ready to like see souls saved.
Wow.
And so we prayed. Next day, I actually shared some more testimonies, even in my personal revival group. Mm-hmm. And a guy in my group heard it. He's from England. He's kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, so that was Tuesday, we shared testimonies the whole school. Wednesday, we shared testimonies in revival group.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, he's walking to school, sees a guy that's gardening. Gets a word of knowledge.
Huh.
Gets a prophetic word.
Wow.
Starts sharing with the guy. The guy's really touched. And my student, out of his own mouth, said, "I usually would just leave it at that."
Huh.
But I remembered what we had prayed for the two previous days.
Yeah.
And he preached the gospel, and the guy gave his life to the Lord.
Wow.
And he said, "I have never experienced that before."
Wow.
Not the guy giving the testimony, but I mean the guy that was preaching. He was like, "I've never done that before."
Wow.
And so even what's stirring here of students who are like getting activated through the testimonies.
It's revival.
Yeah, so
it's revival.
It's on the move.
That's amazing. You know, maybe you're a pastor and you're watching this right now and you're thinking, we need this in our city. How do we do this? Email us. Go to contact us on the onehopeforamerica.com site and let's connect. Let's dream. Let's begin to talk about it. I know what's stirring in Oroville right now, what's so exciting is the pastors are together.
Yes.
There's a unity
mm-hmm.
amongst those guys. You don't always see that in different churches. But these guys are together. They've laid their walls down. I'm sure they've had stuff they've had to work through. Every city does.
Definitely.
But, I mean, there's a unity there that they want to see the kingdom of God
mm-hmm.
come. And here's what's wild is there are people coming together for Oroville on both sides of the political aisle.
That's a miracle.
It's a miracle. And it's what I'm told is that like they've never seen this happen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very clear. I do not bow on righteousness issues
mm-hmm.
ever.
Yeah.
Like the issues that are going on in the world today, the gospel is the answer. And that includes preaching the truth in the power of God and with love. But like just for who's in the room, I don't change the message.
Yeah. Nope.
And so it's just like we're going to see God move. It's going to be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the Lord is drawing the world to himself. I just want to be in the middle of it with what he's doing.
I heard someone talk about unity one time,
uh-huh.
and they used a football analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, a lot of times we think that unity is the huddle.
Hmm.
Unity is not the huddle.
Hmm.
Unity is everybody getting on that line in their position and doing what they're supposed to do.
Wow.
Right. What happens if you have 10 receivers out there? Good luck throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Right. We can't all be receivers. We can't all be quarterbacks. We can't all be whatever position on that line that sometimes we want to be. But I think this is really strategic that the churches are coming together in unity, not mm-hmm. just in a huddle, but mm-hmm. they're taking their position and they're inviting you in.
Yeah.
Right. To preach the gospel. And I think that's really important. I think if your church isn't equipped or ready, like, which is totally fine. You mm-hmm. you know the season you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can create unity by knowing your role in your city, knowing mm-hmm. where you're supposed to stand, inviting mm-hmm. other people to take their place and inviting you in for a crusade, for outreaches, for equipping to see cities saved. And I think that's the goal.
That's right. You know, something else I wanted to mention this, I'm really excited about, like this is what's going to be happening in Oroville, is we're getting into a high school, and we're going to do a school assembly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got, gosh, I could go off on this. We've got, I mean, the anxiety, the suicide, all the stuff amongst teenagers. Identity issues spiked, and we need to run to the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get in there. We're going to do a school assembly. We've already talked to the principal. Yeah. We're doing a school assembly. And this is an area where, I mean, kids are like, they've never left this city before. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have no dreams outside of the city, a lot of them. And so, I mean, I want to help kids learn how to dream and hope again. And but we're going to do the morning school assembly, and then I'm going to invite them all to the night meetings in Oroville. What if, and Pastor, if you're right there, if you're listening to this, what if we dreamt about getting into high schools all over America, doing school assemblies? Mm-hmm. I believe right now that we're going to have favor with administrators because God's opening doors. God wants these kids. And I believe we're going to see a favor open up with administrators where we'll be able to come in and do a school assembly and teach kids how to dream for their lives and get a vision for their lives. It's bigger than where they're at, bigger than their home life, bigger than their circumstances, and see kids rise above that. And then invite them to these meetings at night where they can hear about the love of God and be transformed. That's what's about to happen in Oroville.
Come on.
It's going to go down.
Yeah. I think that's a great model. I think that that model still has life on it.
Yeah.
Right? You might not be able to say certain words.
Sure.
Yeah. But you can't keep the Holy Spirit from touching hearts.
That's right.
And you know what? That's why we go.
Yeah.
Because we know that God is leading us and he wants us there.
Yeah.
But it's his presence that can go beyond the words we can or can't say to get a kid and to pull him into that reality. And then you invite him to a night meeting and you tell him why you have dreams, right? You articulate why they were feeling what they were feeling in that meeting.
Yep.
And then it just becomes the natural responses. Oh, man, I want to know the God that knows me.
Yeah, 100%. So if you're a school administrator or you're a pastor and you're listening to this right now and something inside of you is going, oh, I want to see that happen, just call your school. Mm-hmm. You know, when I sat down with the principal, I just threw a Hail Mary pass. I was like, we're doing a crusades at night. We're going to preach the gospel three nights in a row.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to do. And we found out who we were with. He felt, you know, good about us. He said, I'm in. Let's go. And so I think there are principals and administrators all over the place that are hungry for some good news to come to their students. And I think we owe them this. We owe the world an encounter with God.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Well, man, thanks for coming. This has been great.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it. I love you. You're an amazing guy.
Hey.
Again, if you're watching this and you're like, man, I've always wanted to go to BSSM. Sign
come
up.
Through.
Come on. You'll be around Jeremy.
That's right.
My wife as well and all the crew. So God bless you, man.
Yep.